Well, I thought I might start this morning with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in if you're ready. So let's just take a second here and thank the Lord for being here. Lord, we give you praise, and we thank you for who you are, and that you are really a God of order, and you're a God over chaos, because you are a God of all. And I just pray that you would be present, and that the things that we talk about today would just bring glory to you. In your name, amen. All right, I thought I might start today with an organizational quiz. You ready? All right, how organized are you? I have come to the belief that organization in a lot of ways is a mindset. So see how this fits, and I want you just to discuss your answer with your neighbor, okay? When I walk into a room filled with clutter, my first thought is, look at all this cool stuff. This makes me nervous, toss it all. Or give me 20 minutes and it will all be in order. What's your response? Tell your neighbor. Okay, just off the top. All right, I'm gonna pull you back in. Oh, you guys are a noisy group today. I'm gonna pull it back in, I'm gonna change one word. When I walk into a room that I own filled with clutter, does that change your answer? It does, huh? Yeah, look at all this cool stuff, nah. Toss it all, nah. Give me 20 minutes, I'll be in order. Nah. All right. Here's the next one. Maybe. My dining room table is currently clear with an arrangement in the center. I hear laughter. Set for my next event. Has an ongoing project on it. I think, oh, and this one, is used for my vertical file system of paper and junk. All right, tell your neighbor. All right, three, when I get my mail, I immediately open, read, sort, and file it. Open it, look through it, and put it in a pile on my counter for later. Oops, back one, sorry. Ugh. Sorry. I need some help with this file. When I get my mail, I immediately open it, look through it, and put it on the counter in a pile for later, or put it in a pile and get to it when I can. If you're all coming in, you'll probably want to scoot to the other side. There's some seats over there. Number four, I have the hardest time getting rid of things my kids have made, old photos, things I might need in the future, my husband's junk, no wife ever said, or my wife's junk. No husband ever said. All right, number five. The catch-all spot in my house, or the hot spot, as we call it, is my kitchen counter, my master bedroom, any horizontal structure, or I don't have one because I hate clutter. And six, I want to be organized because I'm type A and I just can't stand chaos. I feel out of control and would never let anyone step foot in my house. I want to have time for other things in my life. Mm-hmm. All right. My goal, and I described this in my announcement this morning, but my goal in teaching this seminar is just the idea of helping give ideas, sharing ideas together, because I'm going to ask for ideas from you also, and there will be some participation, although you are a little bit of a rowdy crowd this morning, I have to say. The whole idea is to create systems that make life a little bit easier, so that you're not focused on all this stuff. So not only easier, but also some things that will take guilt off the table, okay? If I just say photos, that often associates with guilt. Like, how do I make each child feel special? Would somebody be kind enough to shut those doors so we can keep that cold air in here? I think it will help. Thank you. And then, secondly, is to help those systems to help us in creating a space that we feel comfortable in inviting people in and sharing our life with other people and not being worried about the mess. I cannot come and clean your house. That's up to you to do. But I want to give you some tools and we can share those with each other. So I've made this little book for you. And I just want to start by telling you, one, I really think I was born organized. I'm sure my mom said I cleaned up my toys and put them away. I'm a very visual person. So if things aren't lined up, like if I walk into a hotel room and the picture on the wall is crooked, I will straighten it. I just can't. I will notice it, first of all, and then I will straighten it. Anybody feel my pain? Yeah, any of you that you walk in, it doesn't matter, you just see the bed and you're like, yeah. Yeah, some of you are more laid back that way. God bless you. I tease my husband because if a light bulb goes out in our house, he notices like right away. Like he's just the light Nazi, I think I would like to call him. So that's kind of my journey has been, I raised four children. So I had my share of figuring out systems that would work. And some of those systems that I wanted to create in my home were for the purpose of taking the nagging out of my parenting so that my kids knew where things went, they knew the system of how to get it there, and then we didn't have to, I didn't have to be on them all the time. There were just quick consequences for leaving stuff around, which we're going to go into. One of the things that I want to start with is just the personal part, and I think I put that on the taking care of me page, which is page 4 in your book. I had them put page numbers in to be organized. I think before I start any kind of organization or any kind of routine in my day, that taking care of organizing who I am and the things that I need to set my day off straight are really helpful. Otherwise, I just become this bossy mom with opinions that are strong and ways to say them that are sharp. And so I've learned that I need to take care of myself first. And spiritually, that means time alone with the Lord in the morning before I start with my kids. In our home, we had kids that stayed up late and didn't go to bed early, or didn't get up early. I know most of you don't have that. How many of you have early risers? Yeah. God bless you. You have to figure out how to do it differently. Maybe you do your quiet time when they're napping, or you do it in the evening after the day is done, preparing for the next day. But finding that time to have time in God's word and time in prayer. One of the best things that I ever did, and I was probably 50 when I figured this out, I get distracted very easily, like the dog, squirrel, you know. It's like when I try to pray, I have a really hard time keeping my mind in the game unless I do it out loud. So I started typing my prayers on a Google Doc. And I go through the Lord's Prayer every day that I pray. I'll add that. Every day that I pray. And I type through the Lord's Prayer, and I just type them out, and I save them in a file for the year, my prayers for 2018. And I find that I'm prepared for my day when I do that. I pray God's kingdom come. Your kingdom come today, and your will be done. So for me, I ask him, what in my day is going to be kingdom? Would you keep my eyes open for it? Would you keep my heart ready for whatever it is? It could be a kind word to the grocery clerk. It could be helping someone load their car, or whatever in my day could be good works for God's kingdom or fruit that I want to see, and I want to have my eyes open for it. For me, it could mean sharing Jesus with someone on a very personal level. It just depends what it is, but I want to be aware. And I find if I don't organize my time in prayer, I miss it. I often miss it for the day. And knowing my own strong will, the surrender piece is huge for me. I have to do the whole surrender thing every day, or I just go on about my own self-will. And none of you have that problem. I could get up and preach his sin sermon very easily, I think. But this has really helped me to have that time. And I find now that I crave it. I really crave it. And when I don't do it, and I find in my day I'm starting to get irritated, or I'm really sad or whatever, I will stop, sit down at my computer, and go to the Lord and just ask for help. All right. And the rest is on there, physical, relational, emotional. These are just things that are important as I set my day. And then I gave you a little space on there. What do I do well? Out of those things, what do you do well at, and what don't you do well at? Just a self-check. And what do you want to change? Maybe there's something in this next week as you go home that you could say, I'm gonna try that. I'm going to try filling my emotional tank in a way, maybe not every day, but for me, it's sitting in bed at night with a really good book before I go to bed. That fills me up. And it's really hard to do that at camp, can I just say? And I live here. Yeah, it's still hard as we roll into bed at 11 o'clock. All right, good. We're going to turn the page and head right to the practical. And that is paper, 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 paper. How many of you have paper in your home? Yeah. How many of you, one dear lady who's in here told me if she gets buried and her family can't find her, that it's going to be under all the paper. She just knows it. paper is something that is becoming a little bit less in our world. How many of you have imaginary paper files of email? Yeah, it's still there, but it's just in a different form, right? I just want to give you a few things that I've used through the years that have helped me with paper that comes into my house. One is what I call my immediate file. I've had this box for many years. Some of you have taken my workshop before, and you have seen this box. It's still the same. And I'm going to be careful not to knock over my coffee. But this is my immediate file. And you can do somebody, I think, bought this for me at Target years ago. And it's filled with files that are things that are of immediate nature or things that I need to get to quickly. So each of my kids have a file. And like for Caleb, my son, like his prescription for his eyeglasses are in his file. So when he goes to have those redone, I know exactly where to get it. Anything that is maybe longer term school stuff I have to have, like if I have to re-up him for something, like he had an out of district transfer and every year I'd have to go back and redo that. So I just kept it in his file. Here's a fun one. This is Baxter's file. He's not one of my children, but he's the furry kind. And this looks just like him. So Baxter has his own file with his vet right here on the front. So if I go out of town, there's a page in here on the very front of how to take care of Baxter, how to feed him, don't let him drink out of the creek, you know, all of those good things. And I just take this file out and stick it on the counter for whoever's watching the dog. It's so easy. And then I keep his vet papers in here, so we know everything about him. It's all in there. Very simple. I have my kids' schools in here. I have the Mount Hermon bookstore in here just because I need to keep all the receipts for all the things I love to buy in there. But they're just different things. I have gift cards. I keep gift cards in here for restaurants, for stores. I have bills and receipts at the front. This would be things that I'm going to get too fast, you know, that come in. Electronically deposited checks. What do you do with those when you've deposited them and you have to keep them? Then I can go in and I can just shred them every time I go through this. So then on occasion, what I'll do is I'll sit, if we're sitting down watching a show at night, I'll pull this file out and I'll just go through it and throw out things that are no longer needed. Or I'll file things away in a different file if they're going to be longer term. So this has helped me keep up with those immediate papers that come in. It sits on the kitchen counter where I spend most of my time. And except now, here at Mount Hermon, it sits on my desk, which is a dresser in a closet. So there you go. All right, immediate files. I don't have this, but tomorrow I'll show you. A lady redid her files week one of camp, and she sent me a picture. So it's so cool. I'll show that to you tomorrow. Then we go to yearly files. So then I have two crates that have files that have things that I need to keep for the year. So they could be receipts. They are medical papers. How many of you get those EOBs out the yin yang? Yeah. Those are in there, and then receipts for payments that I've had. I keep a file in there that has my manuals and warranties all in one place. That is a better place for them than the junk drawer. Okay? Like the directions to your mixer that you really have to keep because you can't figure out that this is on and this is off, right? And today, seriously, Apple has it down. When you pull a computer out of their thing, it gives you a little tiny thing and it really gives you the website, right? That's all you need. You can figure out almost any appliance online, right? So you don't need to keep those. Warranties, yes. And then I have my permanent files, which are for tax purposes. So I keep the papers that I need to keep, and I keep them 5 years, and then pitch them. So the last year goes out, the new year goes in. And I keep those for the audit that is someday coming, but hasn't come yet. All right, there's some ideas. A couple of websites that I've found that I really like, or apps. These are actually apps. I love the scanner app. If you don't have a fax machine, a scanner app is a great idea. So you can take a document, you can scan it on your phone, you can set the boundaries of where the page goes, you can take a picture of it, it makes it a legal document, you can sign it, you can send it. And if you spend the whole $2 to get the updated, better version, you get the extras on locking and saving and signing and all of that. But it's a great tool to have for those important documents. Another one I have on there is the Keeper, Password Keeper. How many of you have a password keeper of some kind? Yeah. Do you know they make those for your phone? So you can download them, you can, with your thumbprint or your secret password, open it up, and you can keep all your passwords in there. I don't choose to let them keep them online for me. I keep them on my phone, and then I have a backup copy, just in case. But it's so nice, if I'm at Kaiser, and I am with my son, and he didn't bring his Kaiser card, I can look right in my phone and there's his Kaiser number. I have it. I have all those personal information things in there too. If I need my mom's birth date, social security number, whatever to, you know, help her with her electric bill, I have it right on my phone. My rewards number and then all my passwords. It's a great way to protect your passwords and keep them. How about calendar? Anybody like to calendar? Who likes to calendar on a written, like you like to write it out on paper? Yeah. Anybody in that category want to tell me why they prefer that over electronic? Yeah.
Both.
You do both. Okay. And do you ever miss things because you don't look?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in your boat this year. I'll explain why in a second, but yeah.
I like to see what's coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Write it down. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. With you. Yeah. In a nice file somewhere, right? Yeah. Not on top of your refrigerator. Yeah. Good. That's great. How many of you prefer the electronic calendar? Mm-hmm. And what are your reasons?
I like the fact that I can sync my husband's calendar, my calendar, my work calendar, and both kids when they were at separate schools' calendars all into one.
Right. Okay, good.
And so to try to read all the small writing in one small little box for the day is awful worse. With this, I can easily see where it's going to be the time, and it's faster for me to type it than it is for me to write.
Exactly, yeah. And you can color code them, and they'll send you reminders. Carrie?
Yeah, my paper doesn't stay handy. Yeah. So that helps with the little visual that's going to come up on my screen. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm a little type A, just like me. So I love electronic calendar. I'm all the way on that one. And I'm so excited because my son and I have shared this computer for 4 years, and he got his own when he graduated. So now it's all mine. I take all his stuff off. So my college-age daughter made me this year. And this is my word for the year, follow. And every single page is hand done with the week.
Oh.
I know, watercolored. I mean, it's just. And then there are fun things in the back, like books that I've read this year, and I just write them in the spine. And I obviously haven't kept up with it, but I will. And then she has things throughout it, like, how did you follow Jesus this month? Or, did you make a new friend this month? Or, I mean, it's so sweet. Isn't that sweet? You can't have it. It's mine. But then I was in this dilemma of, oh, I like my electronic calendar, but she made this for me. So now I do both. Yes, as a good mom would. Anyway, you can look at that. It's so fun. Pictures, yeah. 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 Another way to store photos. There you go. Very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Your flight from Southwest, all of that. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yes.
I like being able to tell people, not on my calendar.
Yes, there you go. Oh, you're not on my calendar. You don't exist. The other part of doing a paper calendar that is good is if you're with someone that perhaps is you don't want to have an appointment with, you can say, when I get home, I'll check my calendar, rather than it's with you everywhere. Just saying. Not that I would ever think that or do that, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. Yeah. I was at the hair place yesterday getting my hair done, and I pulled out a Martha Stewart magazine, and she publishes her calendar in it. I'm like, that's not a real calendar. All right. Here's another way for good paper stuff is a family message center somewhere in your house. This is not my house. I pulled that off Pinterest. Isn't it cute? Kids' calendars. This is a great place. We had one over a desk in our kitchen, and I had each kid's name and then one for family. And then the important things that came for them from school for like a birthday party invitation that was for them or whatever, that got pinned under their name. So when those school papers came home, we would deal with them immediately. That's another key to organization. If you can, get to it immediately. And if you can't, have a specific place that you put it that you will get to almost immediately, okay? It really helps then to have things out and say, I have no idea where that was, and miss a deadline. You can be very organized and pin it to the board and still lose your mind. That's just the human part of organization. We had emergency numbers on there, just a reminder. Our address was printed on that, so if someone had to call for the fire department, the address is on there. And then my other recommendation for paper is the GC file, the garbage can or recycle can. Throw it away. I love the post office here at Mount Hermon because it has this big blue recycle trash can inside the post office. So I pull out my mail and more than half of it goes in the recycle bin. I've had people pick something out and bring it to me. This got put in the trash. Did you want it? I'm like, it's an ad from Kohl's. I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you, though, for rescuing it. Chuck it. Be free. Be free. Be free of paper. Does anybody have a book that has maybe perhaps a signature on the back of it? Says Jane R. with a smiley face. You do. All right. You can share. You can pick if you want the pink or the black. I know you can pick them for a wife. There you go. Would anybody like the black? Oh, right in the front row. There you go. You're welcome. Those are gifts from Target. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And our stepchildren's school papers, mm-hmm. go with their mother.
Oh, yeah.
We get all the electronics.
So
we never have to worry about missing anything because it's automatic there.
That's great. That's so perfect. The email. Yeah, the email updates. Perfect. And in your email, you have ways of organizing, right? Like Gmail has, when you pull up that, it'll show you, you know, you have social, you have like, I forget what they all are, stores, whatever. I created two email accounts to solve some of that problem for myself. I have an MSN account where all my junk goes to, like stores, Pinterest, all that kind of stuff. When someone asks me for my email for something that's like related to that, I give them my MSN account. If it's personal and friends, it's Gmail. It's much easier. And then if it's related to Mount Hermon, it's Mount Hermon email. So it really works well for me. I like that. I can go through and I know where things are going to be. All right, anything else with paper? We're going to talk about kids' artwork, but not quite yet. It's coming. Yes. To have a to-do list. Yeah. I am a new fan of, I think I put it in here. I bought these little books like this, and they are graph paper. like that. And I love them because I can make as many check-off lists as I want. And I like checking things off. So these are my healthy habits. So water, walking, small portions, snack. And I color in what I do for the day. I'm a check person. I like lists. And so a little graph book is a wonderful idea for that. And so I will do week of, and I'll just put down the things I have to do for the week. And I keep it right by my computer. And then because I like checking it off. There's something that gives endorphins to your brain. Then my other is, this is what I take all my notes in for Bible study, for sermons, for camp. And I like it because I can color as I go and just, you know, make funny shapes and all that kind of stuff. I like graph paper. I can write sideways. So it's just been a fun tool for me. This is called Fabriano. They're about $6, $7 a book. I was giving them out, and I ran out. So I'm so sorry. Nobody gets one in here today unless I get to the store before then. All right, let's move on. Photos. Does anybody have photos? Yes. All right. So I just ask you this on page 8. Where to start? Or actually, let's jump down to now answer these questions. What is it that you want to remember? You want to remember events, right? You want to remember stages of your kids, right? My oldest child has a baby book with lots of fun pictures and details and facts. My second one has a baby book with a picture. My third one has a baby book, nothing in it. And the fourth one doesn't even have a baby book. I know, I am an awful mom, but I have given up the guilt because they are all adults walking with Jesus, and I'm okay with that. Recently, I took a huge tub of family photos that had just all been put in there. I'm sure they were back in the day when you could get 2 prints for the price of 1. Remember that? Yeah. And so there's lots, these must be the duplicates, I'm thinking. And so I sat down on the floor one day, put a movie on, and I made 5 piles, 1 for each kid and 1 for me. And my goal was that my pile would be the smallest. And I put them all in piles, and then I put them in envelopes, and off they went to my kids. And I put some in their memory boxes or whatever. And I thought, you know what? If they want a book out of these, they can make them. I did the big photo album books, like the big kind. And then this is like a smaller version. This was just a trip. So I slid in the pictures and wrote my details. And this was my answer to creative memories. Do you remember the creative memories? So this is my one creative memory book, which was inaugurated by one of my children with teething. And this is the book of Caleb's birth. So it's all about the kids during when he was born. And it is a treasure to me. I love it. My one little book. But it was not a priority to me, nor a hobby, to spend so much time and money on photos. I think that those who did have treasures for their kids. My new treasure, though, is digital. You know, we love digital. So my first digital was 2014, and my friend Sarah taught me how to do this. And this was our Mount Hermon picture that Rachel took. All right? So I said, I'm going to in close, lots of faces, lots of teeth. So that's what she did. And it was so great. And it's just by season. So January, February together. And what I learned was it doesn't matter if the picture is the best picture. It's the memory, right? And so this was done on Apple Books. And I put as many photos in as I could. And Apple Books are probably the most expensive of your choices. But I had an Apple, and my girlfriend was willing to show me how to do it, and so I purchased it. And I love it, and I love using them because I think they give me a very good product. I did just one of our home in Colorado before we moved. because I was so sad to leave my home. I had just remodeled my kitchen. And I got to live in it for 4 months. It's in here. You can come look. I know. I know. But I have the book.
There you go.
Moving from 3,500 square feet to 1,200 square feet. I have purged my amount. And then, like, this was 2017, a bunch of my friends came to Mount Hermon, and I just did this $8 Shutterfly book, right, with a coupon. And I mailed off one to each of them as a surprise. And it's just so much fun. So I put on there a couple of different icons of different kinds of photo books. So how many of you, let's see, how many of you have just tons of printed photos you don't know what to do with? Okay. All right. How many of you have tons of digital photos you don't know what to do with? Or both. So I have people ask me this all the time. I'm going to just tell you my best advice is start with this year and go backwards. Start with this year and go backwards. That's kind of what I did. And now I'm fighting to keep up with the current year, but I have some years done. It's expensive. If you ever use one of these products of Shutterfly, or Snapchat or Snapbooks, Snapfish, sorry, Chatbooks, Apple Books, whatever, Google Photos, look for coupons. Don't ever make a book on Shutterfly without a coupon, ever. Groupon is amazing for that.
And you know, if you get the app, the Shutterfly app will constantly send you, hey, freebies for
today, yeah. Great grandparent gifts too. Like I was in my in-laws' house and I saw these two mugs with our faces on them. I'm like, who made these for you? You know, one of my kids made them for their grandparents and sent it to them of our Mount Hermon picture. So that's kind of fun too. If you don't know how to do a digital book, there is someone that you know that is younger that can help you. Buy them dinner. Take them on a picnic, who knows, and sit and have them show you how to work it. It really is not that hard. Your biggest deal is going to be getting them from your phone to your computer. And once you do, it's pretty easy to do. If you have regular photos that you don't know what to do with, you can go and have them put on digital, like flash drives or CDs or whatever. It's very expensive, and sometimes the quality is not as good as you would wish. I think that it is, I made a 30th anniversary book for Mike this year. We had our 30th wedding anniversary, and so one of our young staff, I'm like, I don't know what to get him. She goes, why don't you make him a picture book of your 30 years together? I'm like, oh, I could do that because I have all my big albums. So I went back and I pulled out the photograph, one picture from every year. And I put it in a nice dark place and took a photo with my phone and sent it to my computer and made a book. It was wonderful. I know there's probably apps that do all that for you. Oh, good. What's it called? Okay, Google it. Google it. The app that takes out. There you go. Okay, somebody Google that while we're sitting here, so we'll have it when we leave, right? So I think, seriously, if you work your way backwards, and can I just say, like, you don't need 1,000 pictures for a year. You just need some good shots of your kids or your family. And then if you want to make your kids books, great. If not, just keep them yourself, and when you die, they'll get them anyway, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. There's probably a scanner app that does it, but the scanner app that I have is more for documents. Yeah, good question, though. I like, someone was telling me about Chatbooks. It's a subscription, and every 60 photos, it'll publish a book for you and send it to you for $8. So you can go in and manipulate it. You can, it'll take the pictures that you post and make a book of them. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. $10? Yeah, good. It's called Chatbooks. Uh-huh, Chatbook. It's the book-looking one, this one. Very good. All right. I have one chest in my home that is filled with old photographs that belong to my parents. And I have kept that in one chest because I think those are heirlooms. When we celebrated my in-laws' 60th wedding anniversary, and they had all these beautiful black and white photos. And there was a table in the room with a glass top. I pitched the glass top, put the photos down, put the glass top back on, and we had a party. And it was so fun to have all their old black and white photos. So don't pitch those. But after you make a book, you can get rid of photos. Can I just say that? It's okay. It is not a sin to get rid of photos. I think we let these things produce guilt in our life, and really, I don't think that's what God has in mind for us. And I think we miss the beauty of life with our eye behind a camera. I think he really wants us to experience it more. A lot of the memories that I have as a child are from photos. Like I'll look back and think, oh, I remember being there. But the memory and the beauty of the memory is not the photo. It's the experience that the Lord gave me at that time. All right, any other comments or snide remarks or? All right. I can't dive as deep as I want, but here we go. Bedroom, master bedroom's next, so you're going to have to jump. And I think we go to page 14. This is my bedroom. Not really. It's pretty, though. Doesn't it look kind of serene? Matching everything. Most likely, this is a better picture of the bedroom. Not my bedroom. But clothes that need to be returned, stacks of paperwork. Anybody have a... No, don't raise your hand. But do you have exercise equipment in your bedroom? I am going to give you permission to rethink your master bedroom. I had a guy come up to me after like week four and he saw, thank you. So just permission to rethink, okay? That space in your home is the most sacred space of your house. That is where the most intimate things happen. That is where God rejoices. That is where deep, hard conversations happen. So why not make it the sanctuary of your home? I don't mean put a big cross above your bed, but make it a place that really is the place you can retreat to. Even if you're not married, it is your most sacred space to sit and to relax and to rest. And so I would recommend that you make it a beautiful place. Take out the things that don't belong there. If there's paperwork in there, no thank you. Get rid of it. No paper in the bedroom, okay? If there's pictures of your children, may I just suggest you pitch them. Because who wants to roll over in a moment of intimacy and stare your toddler in the face? Sorry, but I'm serious about that. Or your in-laws in their wedding garb. You know? Just pitch it. And do something fun. Like, I took a bunch of photos of Mike and I through the years, and I did them all black and white. And I have those in our master bedroom. And I love that. It's me and him, that's our space. I also put two chairs in our room instead of one. Like, you know how sometimes you have a comfy chair in your room? I put two chairs so that we can sit and have a conversation. We have a very small house, but I fit two chairs and a king bed. So the king bed is a great thing too, may I just say? We laugh because we started with a queen, and I said, because I like to cuddle. And then he quickly figured out that cuddling means cuddling, and that's it. So we now have a king bed as we want more space. Books. Okay, yes. So if you're reading a book, that's a great, nightstand's a great place for a book, a Bible, a journal, but not 20 books, right? Each of us have a basket by our chair, and we have some of our favorite books in that basket, but do you know they invented these things called bookshelves?
Yes, we put them in the bed.
You know what? They could go in the bedroom just fine. Actually, they could, and they could have a little potted flower or a clock or make them look nice and not just a place to stack things, right? Some books go this way, some books go this way, and have something sitting on top of them. I mean, it's a visual thing again for me, and it creates peace, does it not? And don't you want your master bedroom to be your place of peace? Okay, I gotta move along, golly. All right, closets. This is what we dream for, but the reality is that we don't all have $1,000 to have our closets redone. But one thing that I will add in here with this picture is this lady needs more clothes and more shoes, like she has four pair there. But I love that she color coordinates it. Because visually, to an organized eye, the color coordination is a big thing. And I find it's so fun. Like, I'll go through and think, what am I going to wear today? And I'll start at the blue section. Oh, yeah, I forgot I had that shirt, and pull it out. You know, it's like, because I love to have them color coordinated. Another idea is if you don't have a lot of space or you don't have, like, certain dividers, boxes work really good. And you know what? I would even take those boxes and tip them up and stack things horizontally in them so that I could see it, like sweaters or whatever. If it's junk, I would put the lid on and do it. Well, I wouldn't have junk. But if you have junk, no, I'm kidding. I have junk too. So I'd put the lid on and the number one tool of an organized person is a label maker. Yeah. Buy yourself a label maker. It does not need to be expensive at all. They all do the same thing just about. But they make, because my writing is, well, it's medium, but I like that they're all the same. And I can label, you know, I had one lady that labeled all her kitchen cupboards because her husband wasn't putting things away right. I'm like, I think that's a little overboard. You don't need to do that. I have a lot of ideas there on just drawer dividers. I saw at IKEA the coolest drawer dividers. They're $7 for a pack, and they're like fabric kind of sides, soft-ish, and in different sizes for drawers. They're really cool. They come in different colors. That might be an ad. I just use boxes, like gift boxes, and I cut them to the size that I need. And like for kids' drawers, they'll stack up those little girl underwear perfect, or socks. A shoebox in a drawer without the lid works great for socks. Yeah, it does. You don't have to be expensive. The Dollar Tree sells dividers, and you get like two or three for a dollar. So that's a great idea too. All right, I'm going to hit the kids. If it weren't for my kids, I like this picture because the bottom drawer, I'm going to go to organizing your kids on page 16. The bottom one with the teenager with the drawers, anybody have a teenager like that? Yeah, some reason I had one. She didn't know that the same knobs that pulled the drawer out could be used to put the drawer back. And it just became this battle. So system, no more nagging. I took her drawers out and laid them all over the floor because she liked it, like the bottom drawer would be out the furthest so she could see what was in it, and then the next drawer would be out a little further. She tiered them. You know, she goes, Mom, it's just easier to walk in. I can find what I need. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're going to make it even easier. So I put them all on the floor. She goes, I can't get to my bed. I said, yeah, but you can see things so much easier. I may have had a few issues being snarky with that daughter where my husband had to step in and help. I would have put her in a box with a hole for food at times. But we left the drawers out for a week, and then they went back in the dresser, and then we never had a problem again. So I was just the battle I picked. For some reason, I picked that battle. So let's talk about organizing your kids. Healthy daily habits. Start the night before. How many of you do that? You like to start the night before? If they have a backpack for school, it's loaded, ready to go the night before. If they wear shoes to school, they're by the door or by their outfit. There were many days when we lived in Colorado where the kids would go to get ready and they hadn't put their shoes out. Where are my shoes? Where are my shoes? And I'd look out under the trampoline, under a little mound of snow, and there would be their shoes, wet, frozen. I'm like, go get them. You're gonna have cold feet today, or put something else on. But starting the night before, shoes, school things, clothes for the next day. For church, we'd set our church clothes out. So in the morning, Satan had one less advantage, right? Another healthy habit, make your bed. Make your bed. With our kids, I often, making the bed was hard. And so I just determined that it wasn't going to be a battle that I was going to fight. No, I did not shut the door. I charged them $5 if they didn't make their bed. And it was never an issue because $5 was a lot of money. I started at a quarter and I figured out really quickly that wasn't enough. And I just didn't want it to be an issue. So $5 solved it in our house. I'd even get a call from school, Mom, I'm coming home at lunch. I'm going to make my bed, you know, from a high schooler. I gave grace. It was good. Regular cleanup times, you know, with little ones especially, it's if you let it go all day long, you're in for a mountain by the time dad or mom gets home, right? So set some regular times. I would advise before mealtime, before lunch, hey, time to clean up. You know, if they have one big project going, let them continue on the project, but keep going. You know, before dinner, clean it up before dad gets home maybe so that he doesn't walk into the chaos and he feels like, oh, there's peace in my home. I want to go home, you know. Dinner at the table, bedtime routines. These are all just common things. And then if you, and there's some other ideas in there about storage boxes. I had storage boxes. I will say this for kids' artwork. I had one tub per kid for all their school stuff, kindergarten through high school, one tub. You don't need any more than that. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. When the lid won't close, then I give the tub to the kid and I said, the lid has to close. So go through it and start throwing some things out that you don't really care about anymore. And you'll be surprised that not all of their third grade stuff is as important to them when they're in fifth grade. And they will purge their own stuff to get the lid to shut. That means your big mission project that's made of whatever isn't going to fit in there. And you really don't need to keep it, take a picture, you know, that whole line. We have storage boxes for baby stuff. We have storage, like my favorite outfit that they wore or whatever. And then they each have a Christmas box because we do Christmas ornaments each year. They get a Christmas ornament each year. So when Megan, my oldest, moved out, she took her Christmas box and she had ornaments to decorate her first tree, which is cool. And I had one empty space. Yeah. All right, another thing, managing the messies, which I think is up a little bit. I'm watching my time. I'm just out, but we started 2 minutes late. Page 24. One of the best things I did was the Saturday basket, and this really takes the load off of mom or dad. I have one child who, when she came into a room, I had three girls and one boy. So the boy is the neatest. He showers the most regularly. He's just a little bit more on top of it. The girls, not so much. So this one child, who's maybe the same one that did the drawers and didn't ever make her bed, that one, she would come through the door and there would be a trail all the way across the house and on the kitchen counter and up the stairs and in her bedroom. That's just her. And I love her, but I just can't manage the mess. And so I created a Saturday basket. So I would ask her, can you please pick up your stuff first? That's number one. And she would say, sure, Mom. Or, yeah, I'll get to it. So then the next time that I saw it and that it was bothering me, then I would just scoop it up and put it in the Saturday basket. Then she couldn't have it until Saturday. So Saturday morning, I would put the basket out, and whoever had stuff had to get it, put it away before they could watch cartoons, get on the computer, or eat breakfast. And then it got put away in the right place. If something got stuck in there that they needed, like homework, then they could pay me for it, either money or a chore. And we just managed it that way. Like, okay, you can have that back, but first I want you to go out and pick up the dog poo. It worked well for me. And it took all the hassle off of myself. Like, they knew the system. They knew, oh, it's in the Saturday basket. Like, or, oh, good, I didn't have to pick it up. Mom did. But so I kept the Saturday basket in the laundry room. That I had a place for it. Yeah, it could go in the garage, it could go in a closet up high, it could go wherever. And they didn't get in it because they knew they'd be in big trouble. Yeah. Yeah, when I put it out on Saturday, they don't have a choice to put it away. They have to put it away. Yeah. You know what it also requires, though, is it requires follow through. You have to, like, check to make sure it got put away. So they would carry their stuff up. I would follow them upstairs and just kind of make sure they got it put away. Or they didn't get breakfast or whatever. Yeah. So tomorrow I'll start, and I'm going to tell you my summer game plan for kids that I do. We're going to talk about the kitchen and meal planning. And then we're going to go straight into hospitality and making your place a place where people can gather and you can share the love of Jesus with them. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you again.